Perig, again, one more time, Perig Yudalit, Pasik Zayin, page 848. V'hoya yoyim echad hu yivadal Hashem, lo yoyim v'lo loyla, v'hoya le'is erev yihye or. Okay, so there's going to be on this day, there's going to be a yoyim echad. There's going to be one day, a yoyim echad, hu yivadal Hashem, it will be known. This day, yivadah, in the future tense, yivadah laHashem, will be known to Hashem, lo yom v'lo loyla, it's not a day and it's not a night.
We sing this Pesach.
This is the Haftarah.
Yes.
Oh, right, that's the Piyat, right, that's the Piyat, correct, exactly. V'hoya leis erv yihye or, and it will be toward...
Can we compare it to the Briyat HaOlam? V'yero v'yikok l'lom echad, v'ya kadosh baruch hu yachid v'olamon?
V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol. Okay, we'll see. Yeah, okay. There's a lot. Yeah, okay. Correct. We'll see. And v'hoya leis rabbi yehar. Let's do another pasuk. V'hoya b'yamahu yeitzu mayim chayim yushalayim chetzyam el hayom hakad moini. There will be an abundance of water that will go forth from Yerushalayim. Half will go towards the yom hakad moini to the east. The chetzyam el hayom ho'acharoin. B'kayitz uv'achoref yihiyah. This will take place in the summer and in the winter. V'hoya Hashem l'melech. Al kol ha'aretz b'yoyim ha'hu yihye Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Nu, Kaddish. Who wants to say Kaddish? Okay, let's take a look over here. Let's take a look over here at the Mitzvah's David. Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin, back on page 848. V'ho yoyim echad. Zeh yasmid yoyim echad. This yasmid. What does it mean over here, Yasmid? It's an intensity. There will be an intensity of Yoyim Echad. V'noyduhu la'Hashem mosayi ha'yoyim hazeh. Asher lo yiyye lo yoyim v'lo yloyla. It's only going to be known to Hashem when this day will be. Asher lo yiyye lo yoyim v'lo yloyla. Ki lo yedu ma'hu ha'toyva im. Ki lo yedu ma'hu ha'toyva im ra'ah. It appears that according to the Mitzvah David, at the end of the pasuk, this is going back to an idea that we had with the words Yikores v'Kipoin, and the end the word Lo Yoyim v'Lo Yloyla he learns to mean Yoyim is good. Yoyim is a metaphor for good. Loyla is a metaphor for bad. As we learned yesterday and the day before. Is that we are dealing with a period of time in world history in the future where there is a lack of clarity. People are in a state of confusion. People do not know. It's not clear that what is happening is the events that are unfolding before our eyes. Are they the beginning of the Geula, or Rachmana Litzlan, is it another era of Churban? So. Only Hashem, so when it says Yoyim Echad in the beginning of the Pasuk, the word Yoyim is not translated the same, at least according to the Mitzvah David, as the words Yoyim V'loyla at the end of the Pasuk. At the end of the Pasuk, according to the Mitzvah, the word Yoyim means a time of joy, a time of light, a time of clarity. Loyla means time of golos, choshech, darkness, lack of understanding. In the beginning of the pasuk, we are describing an era, a period. We know that by Kadosh Baruch Hu, one day, a thousand years by Hashem is called one day. The world, there are 7,000. Is the same. There are seven. The world is 7,000 years, and each millennium is a day by Hashem, and the last is Shabbos. These are all Kabbalistic things which we don't know what we're talking about. But v'hoya, that's what it would appear to be the symbol and reading of this pasuk. V'hoya yoyim echad, there will be this one day. V'hoya, he learns here the mitzudos, the word v'hoya, it seems, to be, he translates the word yasmid. V'hoya yoyim echad ze yasmid yoyim echad. This, I'm not really clear what he means. I think what he means to say is everything that we had until now, the last pasuk vav, this occurrence of there being an absence of Or Yikarois and an Or of Kipa'oin will yasmid, will be sustained. for an entire day. It's not something that will just happen for the moment. When we read yesterday, Pasuk Vav, there's going to be a state in this world of confusion, and the way this is expressed is by these ideas. It's not going to be an or of Yikaros, and it's not going to be an or of Kipa'oin. It's going to be Nishtahi Nishtaher. For how long will this Mitzius endure? So Pasuk Zayin says it's going to go on for an entire day. V'chaya yoim echad. Yeah, Ramachal?
To say that the world will experience confusion.
Yeah.
For one day?
No, so one day obviously by Hashem.
It could mean a millennium, right?
Mm-hmm. By Hashem, a day is 1,000 years.
Now it seems like a lot.
Right. So the Pasuk Vav says V'hoya, it will be by Yom, on that day. When you learn Pasuk Vav by itself, all you learn is there's going to be a day on the calendar where for a couple of moments, there's going to be confusion. The day is a long time. There are 24 hours in the day. So maybe for 5 minutes. 5 minutes out of 24 hours, we are going to be in a state of confusion where we can say there's not going to be an Or Yikaros and there's not going to be an Or of Kipa'oin for a few moments. No, along comes Pasuk Zayin, according to the Mitzudos. It's not going to be for a few moments. I told you there's going to be on the calendar such a day when this will happen. Do you know how long this will last? It will last a complete 24 hours. V'chaya yasmid. Yasmid means it will be sustained. It will
constant.
It will endure. It will not go away. You will have to just ride it out for a sustained. V'chaya b'haviyoso yihyeh. Whenever they have in the Gemara very often, it says v'chaya, or the word who. This word, the Gemara always says b'haviyoso yihyeh. It shall continue, it shall endure, it shall be sustained. For how long will this Mitzvah be? For Yoim Echad, again the words of the Mitzvah, Ze Yasmid, it will continue for Yoim Echad. And when this occurs, V'noida hu l'Hashem Mosayeh, then when it says hu yivoda l'Hashem, the Mitzvah over here is injecting words that it does not say in the Pasuk. When is the calendar date? So hu yivoda l'Hashem, the calendar date, is only known to Hashem. Does not say that in the Pasuk. This is another example where you have the Mefarshim coming to inject their own words in order to open up something that's esoteric, something that lacks clarity. He adds the words, V'noidahu l'Hashem osa yihye hayom hazeh. Only Hashem is the one who is aware of exactly on our calendar when this one day will exist, where there will be a reality of lo yom v'lo layla. Basically, lo yom v'lo layla, according to the Mitzudos, is a repetition of what it says, yikaros v'kipa'oin. Okay? I got it. Where it says, the pasuk before, yikaros v'kipa'oin, those two words now are being substituted with the words, lo yom v'lo layla, at the end of this pasuk. Let's go further to the Mitzudos of
it. I think what it says, they it means that day is standing already. We know it exists for generations, for thousands of years. Leon, it is the Kayam. We don't know when it is.
But
the Tamid is Kayam. Yadua Rak Lakadosh Baruch Hu, when is that Yom? But the Yom is still exists.
You mean predetermined?
It's time, but it's like there's something. Like
I want to quote
it. Where is it? It is somewhere. We don't know where it is.
Ayom Gamken,
we don't know. It's the
Kayam. It's on the calendar. It's just a mystery as to when it will event. Not on our calendar, but it's on Hashem's calendar. It's something which cannot be removed. It's a permanent structure. It's a permanent part of the calendar. Pasuk Zion. On the Mitzvah stuff, the next page, page 851. I'm sorry, I read the wrong, page 851, the very, very bottom, the Mitzvah Stavid, Le'e Serev, Samuch Le'erev, towards the evening, Yihi Ye'ar, Ritzon Lo'imar, Oz Ya'kidu B'tevah Satashua, at the end of this day, that's Lo'yom V'lo'layla, at the end of this day, that's Ne'am, Hu Amokor HaMuska L'mala, This is something which we always come back to. This is mentioned in Yechezkel in great length, and over here we mentioned over here before, and that is there's going to be water that's going to come forth from a spring from the Kodesh HaKadoshim that's going to form a very, very powerful river, a very powerful, even a massive ship will not be able to pass through, and from that water, healing will come to the entire world. Yetsu mayim chayim Yerushalayim, hu ha-mokor ha-muskal l'mayla, ha-yotzim mitach ha-smiftan ha-bayis el Yerushalayim, misham tispashet bo'olam, chetziyam chetziyam mayim, ha-yotzim yelchu derech beka ha-hor el ha-yom ha-kadmoni. Half the water will go to the east. So where would that be if it's going to be going to the east? What body of water is in the east? The, I guess the Yarden, right? The Yarden. What else is there? The Yarden. And half is going to go to the, I guess so, but he'll heal the Yam HaMelech maybe. And the other half will go to the west. That's going to be obviously to the Mediterranean. It's not going to dry up in the summertime, and it's not going to freeze in the wintertime. The flow of water will be constant. It's not going to dry up, and it's not going to freeze. And this is also part of what it means. Mayim, this is now a new understanding of what it means. Mayim, asher lo yikozvu. It's a pasuk. I don't know where the pasuk is. There's an expression that water that does not lie. It is constant. What does that mean ordinarily? It means that there's water, that there's a maya and there's a fountain that is producing water. But just because there's water, sometimes the intensity of the heat is so great, by the time it reaches its destination, it already evaporated. We have water that's coming out of a fire hydrant, out of a fire hydrant, and it's 100 degrees. And the fire hydrant and the water goes down a hill. By the time the water gets all the way down the bottom of the hill, the water already evaporated. There's only that much water the fire hydrant can, the water is coming out of the fire hydrant, but the intensity of the heat over a long distance, it's already gone. It just evaporates. It's absorbed and it evaporates, and it can come because of the heat. You know, the heat causes evaporation. The heat will not be able to cause the water to evaporate, even in the furthest distance. And what about in the wintertime when it's freezing? It freezes, so it also prevents the flow of the water. So there are really three elements of what it means, mayim asher lo yikazvu. Water that does not lie. Water is, it continuously flows. Number one, there is water. Number two, even if there's water, you also need siyata d'shmaya. The water should reach its destination, that it should not evaporate by the time it gets to where you need it to go. And number three, the water does not freeze. Because once the water is frozen, what do you have out of it? You're not going to be able to have any benefit from it if the water is frozen in the winter. It's say right, but it says over here the words over here say bakayitz, wherever the water is going, it says the water will do what it needs to do, and it will not freeze in the winter.
It says it's going towards.
No, but we will read further. I'm the next words bakayitz of chav yeah. The first word on the mitzvah of it, when the pasuk says in the summer and the winter it will be. What does that mean? Lo yisyabesh b'choy makayitz. The water will not dry in the heat of the summer. V'lo yigoled, it will not freeze, likapois, bikor in the coldness, hacharif. Next, v'hoi Hashem lemelech, ritzoy nelema, oz kol ha'umos yikablu le'eloka, v'yaminu bo, all the nations will accept Hashem as their God, and they will have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yi Hashem echad, ritzoy nelema, lo yavdu oid la'avad, z'chav af b'shituf, there will be no Christianity. Okay, shituf is always the code word for Christianity. And they will no longer worship the stars. Af b'shituf u'shmo yechad. Written alemar lo yizocher shem elokai ki imshmo levado v'kefel inyan b'milo yishon asun aleinu. There are many commentators that learn aleinu, read aleinu. Every expression is doubled over, and the half of aleinu refers to the rejection of Christianity, and the other half refers to the rejection of Islam. There's a lot of shehei mishtachavim lehevel vorik umispalalim el lo yoshia. The aravim, they bow down to the dust of their feet. The dust of, now I don't know how that really applies to the modern day Islam, but some want to learn that when we say in the Nusach, Shehei Mishtachav, and they bow down Lehevel Varik, that's one religion. Umispalim El El Lo Yoshia, that's another religion. And, yeah. Yeah.
Further about that in the Talmud, it says you'll be worshiping Eitz Ba'Evet, and the Eitz is understood as Christianity, and the Evet is understood as Islam.
Because Eitz is the crucifixion on wood, and Evet is the dome of the rock.
No,
it's a symbolic.
The
what do you mean?
The
what?
The
Mecca. We're in Mecca. Okay, so here you're saying Eitz for Evan. Eitz is a code word for Christianity, and Evan is a code word for Islam. Okay, there are a lot of these type of Mamori Chazal, these type of ideas. And here as well, V'hoyashem melech al kol aretz, b'yoymahu on that ayi ye Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Why the Rebbe, we say this every single day so many times, what's the Rebbe, what do we mean Hashem echad? Hashem is one, u'shmo echad. The Mitzvah stuff, it says, he says, Ritzon Elohim, Lo Yizocha Yi Hashem Echad. Echad means no more Shituf. Christianity is a rejection of Hashem Echad. In Christianity, there's not just Hashem. There's the merging Trinity. Trinity is Yeshu, Anotri, the Holy Ghost, and God. There's the merging of three. Hashem Echad. Cut out the nonsense. And then when it says Ushmo Yechad, his name is one. What do you mean his name is one? Ritzon Elohim Lo Yizach Hashem Elo A Ki Im Shmo Levado V'Hu Kefel. I don't know, you have to analyze how, I don't know too much about Islam to comment on this, but it appears that there are two forms of idolatry in this world. And in every generation, it takes on a different, it morphs into a different group of followers. We know by Avraham Avinu, it says that the three angels came to visit him. And he told them, before you come into my house, wash your feet. Rashi says, why? Because these were Aravim. What does that mean? What does it mean, Aravim? From the Arav, people who came from the West, Arav, whatever that means. And these people, they worship, they bow down to the dust of their feet. Now, is there any religion today that we are aware of where people bow down to the dust of their feet? Not that I know anything about any religions, but what does that mean exactly? So maybe you'll answer me. What it means is they worship themselves. The only equivalent of that would be people who actually, they believe in themselves to such a degree that they are God. There are some politicians that are like that. They actually believe in themselves like they're God's gift to this world. And they're not God. They are God. They worship the dust of their feet. It's an expression. Now, in the time, ancient times, what?
Their own press clippings,
Rambam says. In other words, That's one form of by Avraham Avinu, he was dealing with people in this world, pagans. They worshipped stone, the stars, the moon. They worshipped all different types of gods. And there are people who worship the dust of their feet. Are those people the same people who worship the stars, the moon? I don't know. I have no idea. But that's what it says in Rashi. Rashi says, here's water, wash your feet. Don't you dare come into my home with the item, the object that you worship. And we know, Maisa Avos Simin Labanim. Whatever we find by the Avos, we find in future generations. Aaron Avinu also dealt with Terach. And Terach, we know, was an Oved Avodah Zarah. And it doesn't say explicitly anywhere in the Torah exactly what was the nature of his avodah zarah, but Chazal tell us that he basically worshipped stone and wood. He had a factory. They mass produced wood and stone idols. And now Avram is dealing with another group of people who worship dust, the dust of their feet. What does all this mean? I have no idea, but obviously as we travel through history, in every generation, there are new religions that become dominant and pose are a thorn in our eyes. These religions, they come and go. And who's who in musical chairs, who's who knows? We just have a basic acceptance today, and it's not even clear why this should be correct. Is it Western civilization? They have embraced the ideology of Esav. And Islam has embraced the ideology of Yishmael. Who says? Why is that so? Are these people the biological descendants of Esav and Yishmael? No one can tell us if they are or not. I don't think there's any way we know today, there's a way of even knowing if they are indeed biologically related to the Esav and Yishmael. But Chazal, this is something which has been well established by Chachmeinu Zechonim Levracha, that basically Western civilization, as we know it today, is that it's irrelevant if they are biological descendants of Esav. They, and mainly they're all Christians, they all are rooted in Christianity. They represent Esav. And the other part of the world, other 1.4 billion people who subscribe to Islam, they all, Chazal tell us, have embraced the ideology of Yishmael. And that's extremely important, because once we accept that as a fact, then we can go back to the Torah and we can study in detail the relationship of Avraham and Yishmael and the relationship of Yaakov and Esav with Yitzchak, and we can gain insight from there how to deal with our enemies today. And the most basic thing we always come back to is that Esav hates Klal Yisrael because of our spirituality, because we are the Bechor, we are the representatives of Hashem. Yishmael, Islam, they don't hate us for our spirituality. They hate us because of the land. Goresh es ben ho'oma hazos, ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak.
No, there's also the idea of the infidels.
So that he's telling, but you see there's the infidels. So that you have to go to the back to Chumash. What happened? Esav and Yishmael were meshadech. They married one into the other. At the end of Esav's life, Esav went, he took a woman from Yishmael in order to produce a hybrid, a merging. There was a merger between Esav and Yishmael. So there is an element, each one has, there's a primary and there is a secondary. The primary hatred of Esav is our religion. Being that Esav has embraced Yishmael, Esav has brought into his element, also jealousy of our possession of the land. But that's secondary. That's something that he only acquired through marriage. Yishmael, be'etzem, hates us for the land. Goresh es ben ho'oma hazos ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. But because they married Esav, so they also brought into their psyche a hatred, a jealousy of the religion, but that's only secondary. Look, I don't know, I don't understand something. You know, if you go look at what goes on in Iraq with the Shiites and the Sunnis, to me, at least from the little bit that I see online, they seem to be pretty religious. They seem to practice religion to a degree. The Arabs living in Eretz Yisrael, I know there are a lot of mosques, but when you see these video clips of what goes on in Gaza and on the Temple Mount, I don't know, that doesn't seem that they're too religious. They just seem like a bunch of wild men. They don't seem like they really.
They have their prayers. I mean,
it doesn't seem that they daven. Like they really daven with much kavana. They make us look very good. I don't see online when they're in Gaza, such religious people. And if you see some of the clips in Iraq, the Shiites, they're pretty. They're pretty. You get pretty scared to go into their territory. They dive in, and the Shiites are extremists. The Sunnis are the more modern. They're like, you know, the Litvaks. The Shiites are Hasidim, and the Sunnis they're more modern. You see that they, but you don't see it. Why? It's Maisa of a similar bottom. Yishmuel be'etzem couldn't care less about our religion. They couldn't care less. What they care about is the land. They're jealous. They have nothing. They're nomads. Godesh es ben ha'om ha'zois. Yeah?
I don't know if you've ever seen this idea, but I know I saw it from Moshe Shapiro. The name Esau comes from Asui, right? And Yishmuel from Shema, right? So they are the counterparts to us, Naseh and Nishma.
Ooh, wow. You know what he just said? That's amazing. Never heard this before. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what he just said. I can't believe what he just said. Esav and Yishmael, they're a thorn in our sides. Our legacy is Naseh v'Nishma. This is amazing. It was Kedai to wake up today to hear such a thing like this. Our legacy is Naseh v'Nishma. Naseh before Nishma. What is Esav? Asui. The reason why Yaakov called him Esav because he came out of his mother's womb finished. He had a beard, a payas, a strimal, a bekesha. He was all done. White socks, even the white socks came out with it. Alts, he came out of his mother's womb, Asui. A complete, mature person. He's done. Asui has the same shavish as Naaseh. Naaseh. Yishmael, what is the root of the word Yishmael? Shin Mem Ayin. To listen. Shema, to listen. That's Nishma. So when we said Naseh v'Nishma, we basically Naseh v'Nishma is our nemesis. There's always, you know, this battle is Esav and Yishmael. They're the counterparts to us, Naseh v'Nishma. They are the Koyach Hara, the evil, the Klipa, Esav Yishmael, versus us, Naseh v'Nishma. Now notice the order. Who came first? Yishmael came first. So in world history, it's Nishma and then Naseh. First came Yishmael, Nishma, then came Esav, Asui, Naseh.
Right. We were criticized for saying
and what did we do? We took them both. And we took it in the opposite order. Naseh v'Nishma. Okay, so this is the Choymer. This is the building blocks. And what does all of this mean? That's to be continued. That's for another time. But that's a very deep idea how there is this battle in the world between us and them. Yeah.
I just heard from a footnote that's out that he said, you see, in terms of Yerusha, the Klal Yisrael got Eretz Yisrael, and Esav has...
Soyer, Seyer.
Har Seyer.
Ki le'Esav Nasati is Har Seyer.
Yeah, Esav. And Yishmuel got nothing.
Right, that's why he's... Exactly, right. Exactly. Right. That's why Ki Goresh has ben ho'amaz was ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. Yishmuel got nothing. Esav... Ki le'Esav Nasati is Har Seir. Esav has territory.
He didn't need anything, Yishmael. They were nomadic people. They couldn't live in a
But he, no, he that's but that's what he's thing. Saying. That's what he's saying from a foot. He does need. He wants.
He has all the Arab countries. Of course he has a great deal.
It's desert land.
That's modern.
They have deserts. Saudi Arabia is just one big desert. It's not sustainable. If not for the oil, would have nothing. So the oil is not going to be around forever. Oil is a temporary source of energy in world history. There'll come a point in time where oil will not be worth anything. There are new forms of energy. Energy comes and goes. Energy not.
Right. Good morning. Where are we holding here? Which
pasuk? We're in pasuk page 850. We just finished the mitzvahs. We just finished the mitzvahs. We're going to start Rashi pasuk Zion. Page 848, Zechariah Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Zion. We're about to begin the Rashi. So let's start the Rashi's right now. Rashi, Pasuk, Pasuk Zayin, V'hoya Yom Echad, V'hoya Adavar Hazeh Yom Echad, Miyoyim Ha'Shalach L'Shvaruch Hu. This event that we mentioned back in Pasuk Vav, that there's not going to be, well, really the truth is this whole event of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down and standing on Har HaZeisim and the earth quaking and forming a valley and everyone running away, and then there's going to be Lo Yeh Or Yeh Koros V'Kip Ha'Oin. All of this is going to happen. Yom Echad Miyoyim Ha'Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayom Yivodashuhu L'Hachonas Yishoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This day is known. It will be known to be the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to prepare. Lehachonas. Lehachonas means to prepare for the salvation of Hashem. Now Rashi begins with the word Miyoyimoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which obviously alludes to the Chazal of 1,000 years. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one day, Ki Elef Shonim Be'enecha Ki Yoyim Esmoil. 1,000 years by Hashem is like one day. This period of time is known to Hashem, and all of this period of time is the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be preparing for his salvation, for his revelation. Next words of Rashi on page 850.
So this would be the last millennium.
Yes.
According to Rashi, before the seventh one.
Before the seventh, right. Before this, from the year 6,000 to the year 7,000. Right, so it's right. So whatever all this means, it's all mystical stuff. Next, next page 850. Rashi lo yoyim v'lo laylo lo or noiga ko or shel oylam haba.
The other way, it'd be 5,000. Yeah. No, it'd be 5,000 to 6,000.
Right now we're between. Right now we're 5,000, 7,000. Right now we're 5,000, 7,000, 8,000, 1,000.
6,000 to 7,000.
Right. Right now it's 5,000, 7,000, 8,000, 1,000. So this is the Yoim is going to be year 6,000, from year 6,000 to year 7,000. Right. Right now we're in the world. We're on Wednesday. We're Thursday. Right now we're Thursday. Right now in this world we're holding Thursday. It's a long Tachlan. Right now it's Thursday in this world, and Erev Shabbos.
Miscounting.
No, 5,000, 7,000, 8,000, 1,000.
That's the fifth.
We're in the sixth.
That's the sixth.
That's the sixth millennium.
Yeah.
All right. This is too confusing for my little head.
Because from zero to one.
Is one, right? It's one, right. So therefore, the year 6,000 begins Shabbos. Right now, we're Erev Shabbos. From 5,000 to 6,000 is Friday. It's Friday. And then comes Shabbos. So when is going to be that time period of just nothingness, of zero-ness? All right, let's see. Lo yoyim v'lo laylo, over here Rashi over here says, Lo yoyim v'lo laylo lo or noiga ka'or shel olam haba shenemar v'or hachama yeh shiv osayim ka'or. According to Rashi, when it says or here means the or of olam haba. The or of olam haba is going to be 7 times more than the or of this world. V'lo laylo. Darkness refers to the difficulty of shibud malchus of the golus of Klal Yisrael. Sheyimos haMashiach yihyu ve'ein bohem shibud. The days of Mashiach is going to be yihyu ve'ein bohem shibud. So it's going to be this knocking. He's saying over here this intermediate state where there's not going to be. It's not going to be olam haba. There's not going to be the or of Olam Haba, but there's not going to be the choshech of Shibud Malchios. We're not going to be subjugated by the nations of the world. V'hoya le'es erev, koidem sheyigamru elef shana, before the end of this 1,000 years, yihye or hanoiga, there will be a brilliant light, v'chol ha'toyv ha'omor al Yisrael, and that's when there's going to be all of the blessing that's mentioned by the Nevi'im for the Jewish people. It's not going to be like the light of day, and it's not going to be like the darkness of night. So he's saying over here, from the year 6,000 to the year 7,000, there's going to be a period of time where there's not going to be Shibud Malchios. We're not going to be subjugated by the nations of the world, but it's not yet the state of Olam Haba. towards the end of the last millennium, sometime before the year 7000, there's going to be a revelation where it's going to transform into, there will be all the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised this world will come upon this world. V'hoya b'yamahu, let's read the part, V'hoya b'yamahu, kishiboka harazesim in amizrach, I'm going for the Rashi, will be on that day, when harazesim will crack, will split, min amizrach l'marav, yetsu mayim chayim mi'Yerushalayim, this goes back to the Mitzvot, there's going to be this flood of water that will go from Yerushalayim, v'yelchu l'mizrach derech oisa b'kia ad hayom, will go from the east, through that crack, ad hayom hakadmoini. Now here he's telling us something very interesting, which we never had until now. When we learned in Yechezkel, we learned not so long ago about this trickle of water that comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And as it comes out, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until ultimately it turns into a torrent, or even a massive ship is unable to pass. It never told us the path. It never made any mention exactly where the exact path of this river, this flow of water. According to Rashi, Rashi is telling us that this that it said in the beginning of this parak, that there's going to be an earthquake, and there's going to be this massive crater, this massive valley, that's going to go from the east all the way to Har Habayis. It is in that crater where the trickle of water will flow and will become a massive river where a ship will not be able to pass. It's not going to remain dry land. So Har Hazesim is to the east. Har Hazesim, Har. Well, it says over there going to be two paths. Yeah, it's not telling us exactly the path. All we know is that starting with Har Habayis, on the east side of the Har Habayis, there's going to be an earthquake. And there's going to be a crack in the land, and this there's going to be a valley. It's not telling us exactly how the valley turns, how it goes. We know that it goes El Otzal, to a place called Otzal, according to one interpretation. Rashi here is adding that in this valley, this is the path of that famous trickle of water that comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and expands and spreads and becomes a massive torrent through which the world will experience healing. In Sefer Yecheskel, it says that the backdrop to this trickle of water, the earth will be sick. It's, if you read the Pesukim, everyone, all the commentators, all the modern commentators will tell us that when you read the Pesukim, it sounds almost like this nuclear fallout. It sounds like there's a nuclear war and there's radiation. It sounds like some horrific event's going to happen and the earth will be poisoned. And then this trickle of water will come forth from the area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that water is going to be the source of healing to the entire world. And here it says that that trickle of water is going to flow through this open valley on Har HaZesim, on the east side. That will be its path. The water will go through that valley, add until Hayim HaKadmoni, Shehu L'mizrocha Shel Olam, Kedma, on the east side. The chetzei, half of the valley, the half of the river, Yifne, will turn l'ma'arav, el hayom ha'ma'aravi, to the yam that is on the west side. I guess that's the Mediterranean. Half of it is going to go to the east. It doesn't say Meir is going to the Yarden. What else on the east? You have the Yarden, Yam HaMelach, and the other half is going to the west. The west is the Mediterranean. Chu ha'mayim shenibe yoyel, u'mayim mibes Hashem yetzei. This is the same mayim that in Sefer Yoel we described. This is the same nachal that was mentioned in Yosef Yecheskel. I measured 1,000 amos, and at every 1,000, and then the water got thicker and thicker. It started out as the thickness of the antennae of an insect, and then as it passed, it got wider and wider. Fine. So here we have over here this man, notice the way it's described. This Chaim Lejush. Over here, in our pasuk, we describe this water as Yetsu Mayim Chayim. In Sefer Yoel, it's called a Mayon. It doesn't say Mayim Chayim. It's called a Mayon. And in Yecheskel, it's called a Nachal. So isn't that interesting? We have a body of water that's trickling out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, And each Navi gives it a different, describes with a different word. Nachal, Mayon, and Mayim Chayim. They're not the same. In Halacha, these are different, these are, even scientifically, these are different terms. A Nachal is a stream, in English, doesn't mean anything, how we translate in English. A stream, a fountain, living water, these are different terms. And each Navi, and this is a very good source material to when we focus on when the Nevi'im, they gave over messages, what exactly did they see? And we always come back to the same principle, they all saw the same thing. They were all given, they all watched the same movie. And when they came out and they asked by the reporters, what did you see? They all describe it differently. And not only do they describe it differently, but the actual, the terms they're using are different terms. When you tell a person, I saw a nachal, that's not the same as telling someone, I saw a mayon. When you say a mayon, that's not the same as saying mayim chayim. And this stream obviously is a big topic of what exactly it means. But this thing, we cannot ignore the different terminology used by the different Nevi'im as to what exactly they are saying. Pasuk Tehasi Hashem Echad Shmo Echad Shkol Umos Ya'azvu Hevleihem. Rash is a very beautiful, delicate expression here. That the coming of Mashiach, the Goyim will abandon their nonsense. Nimsa She'ein Imo El Nechar. There will not be with him a strange god. That was said, that this is referring to the world. According to Rashi, this is the entire world. Ein imo el nechar. That with Hashem there is no stranger. Ushmoy echad sheyehe shmo niskar b'fi kulam. His name will be mentioned in the mouth of everyone. So a lot to be said about this, about these two Rashis. Number one, we think in the world there are people who don't know about God. They never heard of God. It's not true. It's natural. This is an argument that's made. Rashi seems really to hit the nail on the head over here by telling us this idea, because not everyone agrees to this concept. If a person is brought up on an island, and there's no religion, nothing, does a person naturally come to a hakara that there is a God? To have a person who grows up on a desert island, no communication with civilization, does a person on his own have a sense that there's a God? Or do we say that in order to acknowledge there's a God, you must be taught? Someone must come to you and teach you, let me explain to you, there's a God. What would be the natural frame of mind for a human being who was never taught, never exposed to religion or to any ideology? So many argue, and Rashi here seems to indicate this to be true, it is natural that a person senses and recognizes there is one God. Problem is, people have gotten in the way, evil people have become corrupt, and they have created false ideologies, and from the moment a person is born, they attempt to brainwash people and tell them, no, there's no God, or they have a very corrupt understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they teach us to the vulnerable, and the people fall for all this nonsense. Rashi says, all you need to do to restore Hashem's malchus in this world, you don't need to go out and become a missionary. You don't have to proselyte people. All you have to do is cut out the nonsense. When you abandon Shekol Bayomahu Yia Hashem Echad, all that is necessary is Shekol Humois Ya'azvu, to abandon Hav Lehem. And then automatically there is a recognition that there is a God. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not like we think we have to go out there and teach them competition. You believe in your God, and we believe in our God. Our God is better. So why don't we have a debate to prove that our God is better? That's the wrong attitude. The attitude to be Makarif Goyim is to teach them to abandon the nonsense. And then on their own, they will discover Hashem. How do you go about revealing to the world I know someone who works in a very big company, and we actually had this discussion on Shabbos, and he says that there are a lot of that in his company, they have a chabura. They are firm people. This person is a very top person in the company, all the way on the very, very top. And in the company, there are hundreds of employees in this company, all over the world. And there are a few frum people, a handful number of Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, and they get together once a week, twice a week, and they learn on Zoom, part of the company, whatever, part of their in their environment, however they're set up. And then there's a group for this, a group for that. So someone there at this conversation says, why don't you make a group for the Goyim? Why are you only having a religious 10-minute session once a week for all of the frum people to come together and listen to a shir from a rav, whatever it is? Why don't you do something of religion for the goyim? So he said to this person, you're right. I know firsthand, and this is one of the top executives of this company, they are thirsty. The goyim are so thirsty to hear Devar Elokim, to hear the word of God. We're not talking about Christianity and Islam. They want to hear just like basics, just very basic concepts.
Spirituality.
To understand the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an alternative to the crazy nonsense that goes on out there. The crazy, you can't believe the ideas people have. People have a yearning. So what do you do for these people? So it's very interesting what Rashi says. Rashi says, V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz b'yoymehu yehashem echad ushmo echad. I don't know, you have to talk to professionals. These people do this their whole life. They know they know how all this, what works, what doesn't work. But Rashi here makes a very explosive statement. When you're dealing with Goyim, and you're coming to teach them about spirituality, about religion, it's not so much positive to tell them about God, and that man, a human being, is created in the Tzelem Elokim, the image of Hashem, and Hashem created this world to do chesed, and this world is just a prozdar, an antechamber to another world. Those are very beautiful things. Those are positive elements. You don't need to do that. You need to tell people to cut out the garbage, the nonsense. Get rid of the garbage. When you get rid of the garbage, you show people the foolishness of some of the things that they are embracing and engaged in. Naturally, they fall in line. That's what Rashi says. This part, what could be more important than this pasuk? V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz b'yomehu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad shekol u'umos ye'azvu havleihem. It doesn't say there's going to be a Chabad house in every corner. It says they're just going to get rid of the garbage. Enough of the nonsense. You really believe in this crazy stuff? All these crazy ideas that are going around in society today? Redefine reality? Nimsa she'enimo el nechar.
You have to really be a professional to know how to...
You do. You definitely do. That is a given. You need to be... But you know something? You know, they used to have these commercials on the radio about adopting children, being a foster care. They had these hilarious commercials about asking the public to basically adopt to take care of children who don't have a father figure in their life. And they have all these very funny, I remember these funny commercials, you don't have to be rocket scientist to be a father. You don't have to be such a grosser chacham. A child or a young adult just needs companionship with a person who is a little bit older than him to watch over him. And even though you may not know how to open up a soda bottle, you may not know how to open up a beer, you know, to pull off that cap, it's okay. They have all these very funny examples of showing people that are total amaratzim, who can't do anything. But you know what? It's okay. It doesn't matter. Just being there for someone who is young, you provide for him a sense of security and safety, and that is priceless. It's the same thing. You don't necessarily have to be the Gadol Hadar and know Kol HaTorah Kula to help a guy. And certainly, you know, and certainly Acheinu B'nei Yisrael to be for him a source of spirituality. Okay, Partners in Torah, you know, all of these organizations, they just want the average Joe, the average person, just learn with someone who knows from nothing. Just learn whatever you want to learn. Learn the Aleph Beis. Learn the Pasuk and Chumash. Take out an article. You don't know it either, so figure it out together. You have a much better chance of figuring out the Pasuk, Chumash, and Rashi than this guy who never ever went to public school, who knows from nothing. You don't need to be the Gadol Hadar. And with the Goyim, it's interesting. We live in a world here, the Goyim now, they need it even more. Used to be, you know, the Goyim, they you know, stay away from the Goyim. They'll kill us. They'll still kill us. But you always see what's going on in this world. The void of just any little degree of spirituality is gone. And this person who works for who runs this company, and he deals with Goyim, real Goyim, he says to me, you cannot even begin to imagine how thirsty these people are just to hear the basics, the reason why they're behaving and they're engaging in these crazy, crazy things that we see going on in the media, these crazy values of redefining reality. It's because they don't know even the Aleph Beis. They have nothing. And when they hear even a few words of spirituality from a person who is sincere, it totally changes them, totally opens up their minds. And they become different people with very, very little. There's not, they have so little, that's why this is happening in society today. They're not being given even a mashahu of what they use of what their parents, their grandparents, their great grandparents had. Unfortunately, when they have a little bit, you know, we know what happens. Then they become anti-Semites. Then they become jealous. Then it leads into all right, whatever it is.
Wait, generalizing this
subject. Rashi says one word.
It's ridiculous.
Vayomahu ya'azu havlehem. Nobody is going to teach them, because nobody can teach for him about God. Nobody. Even Abraham Avinu was not successful. He did quite a few people, but not the whole world. But he put this subject. The Goyim and even the Jews do not understand that the God that is, we cannot see him, we cannot feel him, we cannot hear him, as what kind is that? So they make another God. There is God in heaven. Moshe Omer, Navam, Nichashti Bayoparchem Yashem Diglalecha. He believes in God. However, he has not him also. Paro says, to join him with somebody else as an example, as a mashal. Is להחביר על שיהיה חבר שלו. יש God, יש עוד אחד שהוא גם God, שהוא חבר, וקוראים לו Jesus, קוראים לו בחייזן המוחמד, קוראים לו עוד On their own, they will leave all this nonsense and they will say, yeah, there is only one. Who's going to create that? Hashem is by himself. Everybody says the same thing. They believe in God.
Okay, I hear. Okay, the last words, very, very good. Very good, what are you saying? What you're saying is excellent. The last words of the Rashi, Shmoy Yechad, this is very relevant for today. Sheyehe Shmoy Nizkar B'fi Kulam. Hashem's name should be mentioned in the mouth of all of them. This is very fascinating. Today, the politicians today, God is taboo. It used to be, you know, in the United States, they would say, God bless America. Biden doesn't like to say that. He says it once in a while, very rarely, but more and more.
You mean, you know, the thing,
right? God, he doesn't even say that. More and more, they have in America what is called National Prayers Day.
Yeah, right.
So,
day of prayer, yes.
So the president typically issues a statement. So this year, for the first time on National Prayers Day, the God, G-O-D, was not in the speech. Spoke about basically prayer is you pray to forces the forces of nature. So. God is not. There's no God.
Proving what?
That how far we are regressing from the world.
No, never mind the world.
The world.
In the United States.
Yes.
Does Biden actually represent?
He certainly does. He's the president of the United States. I don't know. Well, he's the president, and the president is elected.
Nobody.
Elected until they prove the election was a fraud. But he is the president of the United States. And for the President of the United States...
He goes to church on Sunday. Why is he doing that?
I don't know, but it is a shocking thing that on the National Day of Prayer...
He doesn't want to offend his
not face. To mention God in his speech. He's to redefine prayer as to pray... Who are you praying to? You're praying to the stars, to the moon, to the forces of nature, to extract God from the National Day of Prayer? Do you realize how far it's gone? Because you don't want to offend, since it's the majority of the country, right? I don't. But he's the president, and I know what's going on. This is a shocking look. Even Netanyahu, when he defended the State of Israel, in the speech that I heard, he did not say God. Which I find to be a tremendous chilul Hashem. When the horrific event happened in a tragedy in Meron, so he said we have to be mispalo. He said many times tefillah. Corona, there was a famous story where he said only Hashem knows, and the reporter there said to him, Hashem, it's the scientists. There's no God. There was a big flare-up, and she took a lot of heat. This woman who challenged Netanyahu, how can you say that Corona, what's going to come from Corona, is Biyad Hashem? How could you say that? Corona is in the hands of the laboratories of the scientists of Israel. They're going to find the solution. She challenged them publicly. But at least Netanyahu said it's Biyad Hashem. What's going to be? We have to be mispal to Hashem, that he should help us get through this ordeal. But yet, when he goes in front of the United Nations, he'll never, ever say God. Never. You notice that? I've noticed that already for 20 years. Netanyahu in Israel, when he talks about Rav Chaim Kanievsky, when Aval Yashiv passed away, he gave a little hesped, he said some very nice things. He knows how to play the game very, very well. A real master politician. Master. But he doesn't have the guts. He'll say that Eretz Yisrael is a Jewish state. That itself is pretty good. But he will not connect the Jew to God. He publicly states in front of the world that Israel is a Jewish state, not an Israeli state. but fails to say, so help us God, that Hashem, and that to me is very, it's very disturbing. It's very disturbing. If it's a Jewish state, then you say, Be'ezras Hashem Yisparach. And if the Goyim don't like it, too bad for them. Too bad for them. Is this a Jewish state or is this not a Jewish state? If you want to make believe it's a secular state, so call it an Israeli state. If you want to call it a Jewish state, a Jew means Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. No one's asking him to go to go and say Shema Yisrael. But if the President of the United States of America will say God bless America, how could it be that in Israel you can't say God bless Israel or some other nusach that shouldn't be a violation of plagiarism? Why can't the Shem Hashem be part of the equation? To the world, it's shocking. Don't tell me he doesn't know. He knows, ganz fein, he knows. It's shocking. Now, I'll tell you the icing on the cake, I'm going to stop. The icing on the cake is a little piece of news. I don't know if you paid attention to what happened yesterday, the day before, but before you have more details. President of the United States, he said, no longer, check this out, I'm not making this up, no longer can we refer to any peace in the Middle East that has been established by Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. We will no longer refer to it as the Abraham Accord. Is it accord or accords? With an S or not? Plural or plural? What is it? Lashon Rabbim or Lashon Yachid? Accords. No longer? No longer? He gave some type of new, he renamed it. He renamed it. You know why? Because he canceled Avraham Avinu's Facebook account.
He's canceling Trump.
No. Abraham, however you want to look at it, it's a shocking thing. This thing was called the Abraham Accords. Avraham Avinu was the person who was makir that there's a God in this world. He's the one. You're not gonna. He's the one. The whole world were pagans. Avraham Ha'ivri, he's on one side, and the rest of the world is on the other side. Avraham was the one that was makir that there's a balabais. No more. What does it bother him to call it the Abraham Accords?
No, he doesn't want to give Trump any credit. That's
no. Yeah, so rename Obamacare. Rename it.
Change the label.
Okay, you change the label, but it's all right. I don't know, but you can't ignore that Avraham, when you have a term Abraham, and Abraham is the first to be makir. The first one to acknowledge there's a God in this world, and to just rename, there's no change, just to reject that term, that's a very, to me, there's an incredible lack of sensitivity. And even though you'll say it's just a political stunt because you don't want to give any credit to a predecessor, but when the term captures a certain, it was named Abraham Accords because it captures a certain element of faith. The common denominator between Yisrael and Yishmael is they're both Maminim in Hashem, who was, this idea was implanted into their brains by Avraham.
It's just the common ancestry, it's not about the faith.
Alright, so Michal doesn't agree, I see you don't agree with this. I'm reading more into this. I think there's an incredible lack of sensitivity. It's true. You can spin it and just say just politics, just, you know, politics. You want, but it touches a raw nerve, I think, with a lot of people. Abraham is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is the person that was brought into this world monotheism. He gave it to the Jewish people. He gave it to the Yishmael. That's the common denominator. That's the pieces based upon this principle. There's a common thread. To reject Avraham Avinu, to not mention God's name on the National Day of Prayer, to completely sideline religion. What's with this pasuk here? V'hoyo Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz, b'yoyim ha'hu yihye Hashem echod u'shmo echod, Rashi, Zecharia, Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Tes, we're learning today basic words in the Pasuk Rashi, Sheyehei Shemoy Nizkar Bifi Kulam. Hashem's name is mentioned in the mouth of every living creature. We're learning over here, Nach, right? We're learning Befi Kulam. And here, we're going backwards. We're going backwards. Here we are in the year 5781. No, don't mention God. Don't say in God we trust. That's an insult.
It's out of collateral damage, like you say. We are the collateral damage here.
It's not only about us. It's about the whole world. Everyone, Mashiach, this pasuk is V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol aretz. The pasuk here is not addressing Klal Yisrael specifically. It's addressing the entire world. The entire world has to come to our Hakara. We say this in davening every single day, a million times. V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol haaretz. Bayoyim ahu yiyeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. United States of America is the superpower of the world. There is a person who is appointed to lead, and the tolerance of such a crime against God, of his name and his representatives being erased, is a pretty serious business, from my perspective at least. Obviously, the people really disagree with me. He's not happy here. He's not happy camper here today. All right, I respect all the opposition. All right, let's take a short break. After the break, I want to talk about a topic not in the parasha, but now that it's the summertime, the summer is beginning, it's already June. Many people have the custom to observe an early Shabbos. Make an early Shabbos, so there are unique halachos and yonim that apply to making an early Shabbos. I want to go through some of those issues. I'm sorry. After the break, I want to talk about the yonim of making an early Shabbos. After this time of the year, many of us are mekabel Shabbos early, and it brings with it a unique set of halachos. Okay, we'll continue in a few moments.